Blog Talk Radio.
As the legend goes, an old Cherokee was teaching his grandson about life. He said to the boy, "A fight is going on inside me. It is a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, guilt, lies, superiority, and ego. The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too." The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed."
All right. Good evening. Good afternoon or good morning. It just depends on what part of the world you're listening. Bienvenidos, ¿qué tal? Namaste, Oki, and welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show, broadcasting live every Monday and Wednesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseeffects. That's the letter X at the end there. For about an hour or so, get a chance to sit back. tonight, we will discuss Dysfunctional by Design, the Rebirth of Culture Survivors, exploring the myths of slavery and the hopes of for the uncertain future that awaits Black America, as well as other topics of interest here tonight. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of our hosting duties. Holding down the other half of our hosting duties is the author of Dysfunctional by Design. Some call him Unc. Others call him the Lions Historian. He's just simply my best friend. He's my dad, Bill Green. What's happening, Daddy-O? Good evening tonight. How you doing?
Thank you.
Yeah, that too.
You're doing good. Right, I guess you're doing all right.
Let me adjust my volume here a little bit. I'm hearing feedback. There we go. Okay. Yeah. So what's up, Wilfredo? How you doing?
Doing all right. I'm okay. I'm all right.
Quite
I'm doing all right. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Quite a weekend.
All right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm still stepping. I'm not doing too bad for a stepper. You know, never did learn how to step, though. But I didn't even learn how to bop. I didn't learn how to do most dances. You know, it wasn't until I was in my, mid-20s maybe?
Okay.
Before I took it upon myself to learn how to dance a little bit. You know?
Yeah.
And even then, it was a matter of getting up on Saturday mornings after my girlfriend at the time, Margaret, went to work. Not fire me up a J and watch Soul Train. And I just started trying to emulate how they would dance, except for the Soul Train line. You know, I want to go break my hip, yeah. But, you know, just trying to get the moves down, man. And one day I surprised Margaret, you know, popped out on the dance floor. She was like, oh, don't drag me out there. You dance like a white boy. She just stood there with her mouth hanging open. I said, yeah, baby. Yeah, but that man, so long ago, you know, so much has happened in my life since then, right? I think the last dance I learned was the GQ and the Rock. Man, anyway, you know, I guess it's better to say that than the waltz.
Yeah, I'm glad you got a little step still there, so. That's cool.
Yeah. So how you doing, man? Yeah, there you go. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm cool. Today has been, I guess, personally challenging just for myself. Just woke up kind of funky, and I don't mean like I didn't take a shower funky, ladies and gentlemen. I don't mean like that. But just, I don't know. Just, I felt, just been feeling kind of tight, you know, and not really angry, but just, and not
grumpy.
Even irritable. I mean, yeah, but it held on through like the entire morning and part of the afternoon. Well, most of the time, by the time I throw some water in my face and brush my teeth, and I'm cool. And I did do all that in the morning. Before anybody else got jokes about being funky. But I don't know. I took a minute to meditate. You know, I could hear you in the back of my mind. Well, have you meditated yet? Have you just, you know, have you prayed on it? What have you done? You know, and I did. And afterwards, I felt better. Not sure what it was. I think maybe it was just some little things in the back of my mind, maybe some reminders, just about making some changes, you know, some things that I need to do to make some changes in my life. You know, those sometimes when you wake up and you're not really excited about going to work or you're not really happy about doing some things, you know, but you have the ability to make those changes happen. So I'm still working on it, but I feel good. I feel better. As always, you know, when 7 o'clock hits, man, it doesn't matter what's going on unless I got broken bones, man. And my whole energy is going to shift, you know.
Oh, you mean 7 in the evening? Yeah, right.
7 p.m.
Yeah.
And jumping on the show, you know. So it's kind of hard to put into words right now because, you know, like I said, once that
sounds like you did a pretty good job to me.
Yeah. Yeah, but other than that, man, I'm cool. You know, we always deal with these personal issues and conflicts within ourselves. And, you know, I'm beginning what's that phrase you say about being paranoid?
Just because I'm paranoid don't mean people ain't talking about me behind my back.
Yeah, that one. I don't
you
know.
Just because I'm paranoid don't mean I ain't being followed. Just fill in the blank. There's a whole bunch of them.
I kind of feel like
maybe it's,
I kind of feel like sometimes if I got voices in my head, don't mean I'm crazy. So it's not quite the same thing, but.
No, that kind of suggests that you are. Yeah. That's kind of hard to deny. You're not even ignoring them when you hear them. So, no, man. But that's another issue for another time. If you hear voices in your head.
Yeah, that's another episode for another time, man. Yeah.
Let me know ahead of time if you're hearing voices in your head, man. I'm out of here. I ain't gonna take on all y'all. But anyway, hopefully, man,
the conscious voice.
All have
the conscious voices, not the the back of my subconscious, not like Joe Schmo is talking to me in the corner, or. Yeah, anyway, I'm not going to clear this up. I'm just going to make it worse. So we're just going to keep
you ain't lying. So it's a good time to segue into due diligence,
it's
man.
Ladies and gentlemen, as always, Dad and I like to remind you all to grab a pen and pad, a pencil and paper, a post-it note, a marker, the back of an envelope or a napkin, something you got around you to write with. We want to make sure you've got something with you in case you got any questions, any comments. Who knows? You might even pick up something from our discussion tonight. And hopefully that'll be, not Will is going crazy. Don't write that down. But no, seriously, we hope that you, have something to write with. We don't want you to forget anything. We don't want you to miss anything. And so we do ask that you grab something to write with. Maybe you do have a question or a comment. You might want to share it with us. Our shows are live every Monday and Wednesday, and on our shows, we have the ability to engage with you. And you're probably asking, well, Will, how can we do that? And by golly, I'm glad you're asked. There's a couple of ways you can do it. One way is that you can call in directly. By now, you should have something to write with. I'm going to give you a phone number here. Our phone number is 516-453-6094. Again, 516-453-6094. And when you're ready to jump on in, just hit 1 on your keypad. And that'll put your number in the queue. And Dad and I will bring you in as soon as we can. We'll just say that. Another way that you can engage with us is in the chat room directly on Blog Talk Radio's website with your free Blog Talk Radio profile that you would have to set up. You can go to the episode on this website, and at the bottom of the page, you'll see the chat room, and you can chat with us directly. I see Adam's already in the queue. What's good, Adam? How you doing, man? Good to see you. Or there's ye olde Facebook. I always say ye olde Facebook because I think it's one of those apps and websites that is we all kind of go to just subconsciously, kind of by habit. So we have those different ways that you can engage with us. The event page that Dad sets up is available for you to use in the discussion tab. You can go there and you can type any questions or comments on the Facebook page as well. So there you have it from your friends at the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show. As always, we hope to hear from you all. Our phone lines are always open. Don't wait on us to tell you. Just, ask us questions, call in or what have you. We love to know. What's on your mind? We'd love to hear from you. So there you have it. I'm not sure where Dad went. Nor can I find the haha.
Yeah, I was here. I was just staying out of the way. So
I
couldn't hear me laughing.
Yeah. Which part? Yeah. I got a lot.
Like
of,
I said, so you couldn't hear me laughing. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was great, man. As always, great as always. Yeah, no question. All right, so let's see. Since what now?
Last talk. What are you about to say? Since we last got
since our last show, what's gone down?
What's
been happening?
Had a few things that happened. Yesterday was 9/11, 21 years now since planes crashed and hit the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and the other plane that went down. Queen Elizabeth passed away. And I know today is Monday, so tonight is the first Monday Night Football. So I appreciate Adam in the queue there. It's good to see Adam. I thought it was just going to be me and you tonight. But I guess the game hasn't started yet. I don't know. They wait till later. That's why I kind of at the beginning I was like, yeah, for an hour, you know, about an hour. So, but no, that's you know, a couple of things that's been happening news-wise and current events. You know, here in Chicago, it's always something happening. It was 50. It was like 50 something today. By the way, it was like 57 degrees this morning. It was like, wow. I enjoy
it. Man, that sounds so refreshing. Man.
Yeah, it was. It was.
I am about tired of this 90-plus weather, man. I mean, it bore me down after a while. You know, it's like, you know, how much bliss can a person stand? You know, I don't know. Maybe the needle didn't quite hit 90. Maybe it was 89 and a half. You know, but anyway, 50 just sounds refreshing, man.
Yeah, it has been pretty nice.
Yeah, so let's see. So 9/11, the anniversary was yesterday. Any thoughts about that at all?
I had 21 years. You know, it's like I'm sure we reflected on it last year. I meant to go through the archives. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, our shows are saved in archives. So anytime you want to go back and catch an episode you missed, whether it be last week or last year, you can always go back and check out our shows on the Blog Talk Radio site or even on wherever your favorite podcasts are played or broadcast. We are there, the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. So yeah, 21 years. I mean, honestly, sometimes reflecting back, you know, of course, it's one of those things that most of the time the first question you hear people say is, where were you? You know, kind of like when JFK was assassinated, right? That was a thing. It's like, where were you when this happened? It doesn't feel like,
yeah,
know, 20
yeah.
years ago. You know, it's still to the – did I lose you?
Did I lose you or did you lose me?
No, you good. I hear you. But still, even it doesn't feel like, you know, like I said, 20 or so years. It still feels like I can remember everything I was doing. Okay, Dad, we lost Dad. I hope you guys can still hear me. But yeah, 21 years. Where were you? You know, Adam, what were you doing 21 years ago? I was getting ready for work. I was going to the airline. We've talked before about the experience I've had working in the airline industry. And I was getting ready for work. And at this time, I was an operational supervisor. So I was trained in the ways of different aircrafts and how they travel, you know, like cloud patterns and storm formations, all this stuff, you know, and, you know, how planes travel, flight restrictions, and all these things that basically just how the airline industry is ran. So I'm getting ready for work, you know, and about to head to the airport, and I see the crash in the World Trade Center. I'm like, oh, snap, man, somebody really messed up. And then see the second one. It's like, oh, that's not that can't happen twice, you know. Like, this just isn't right. And just something was telling me, you know, this is not right, because I just knew just from the training I had that, you know, one plane can make a mistake, okay, but two, you know, just something just didn't feel right. You know, get to the airport, things were already crazy, as you can imagine, and, you know, the rumors are like, oh, they're targeting all the airports, and we got to get out of the airport, and, you know, people were crying, and at the time, I hate to sound sexist or something like that. But at the time, it was just me, and it was just at the station, it was just a bunch of women. None of the guys were in, you know, none of the station managers, nobody else. It was just me, and I had a whole crew of women. And the majority of the women were all family, you know, they all had families, and it was rough, you know. The buildings had collapsed, and everybody was crying, and obviously the planes were coming in. But it was just one of those moments where, you know, just slightly, I just, you know, just kind of took the grabbed the steer or whatever, the steering wheel or by the helm or whatever the phrase is, you know, and sent everybody home, held it down, stayed at the airport. I wasn't worried about no planes crashing. I don't know. It was crazy, right? I should have got out of there too, but I didn't. And then I remember a few days, you know, a few weeks, right? A couple of weeks, I think, there was no aircrafts flying. And I lived by the airport. It's really strange how your hearing and how your brain adapts to environments around you. You get so used to hearing the airplanes, it doesn't bother you anymore. But the moment that there aren't any airplanes flying around, it's like, whoa, what happened? You know, it's trippy how our body and our brains adapt to those kind of situations and environments. But then it brought me back to Chicago, right? You know, Dad, you came on and scooped me up, brought me back to the crib because I had to start all over again because I got laid off. And obviously it was going to be difficult to find a job in the airline industry after 9/11. That was not happening. You know, but Dad came down and picked me up. I'm not sure if Dad's back hooked up again. I know we lost him for a
second. I'm here. I'm waiting for you to wind down.
No, I'm winding down. Just like, man, you know, that was a big change in my life. Just making that adjustment and coming back to Chicago. So, you know, it was always cool that you were there for me during that difficult time, just as I think I was there for other people. That's it.
Yeah, it was a strange, difficult, traumatic time, no question about it, for everybody. And I'm sure we all have, like Adam wrote in the chat room, driving up to New York listening to Howard Stern, and he quickly turned from shock jock to news reporter. I imagine everybody has, you know, some related story, you know, especially those of us on the periphery, like you, me, you know, non-New Yorkers, you know, non-Pennsylvanians, you know, like all the focus was on the East Coast, primarily New York. And so the rest of us were just being fed the news. But we all have our own stories, too, you know, how it affected us, no question about it. After 21 years, I hope that most of us have made inner peace with it, though. You know, those of us on the periphery, I mean, I would imagine that for New Yorkers, it's a continuous reminder of a nightmarish event, you know, that I can't even imagine stacking my experiences up against what they lived through. I mean, that's, I don't know, that's something that you think only happens in a movie, you know.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
So she kicked the bucket. I guess that's not a nice way to put it, you know. The Queen has died. You know, there was a post on Facebook that kind of caught my attention, you know, kind of peripherally,
okay.
You know, someone had just posted a comment that said, if you're black and posting RIP to the Queen, you don't know your history. And I thought, wow, that was quite that statement. So, I mean, I guess I had some ideas of, you know, piecemealed history in regards to the United Kingdom, you know, but it was so convoluted with so many other aspects of 20th century history. Not so much 19th century, you know, not the 1800s, but more the 1900s, that I thought about it more in relation to the United Kingdom and the relationship with the United States. But that caused me to just back up a little bit as we talked earlier today. And, you know, our conversation just reminded me, the more we talked, that, you know, throughout her 70-year reign, racism was alive and well, and much of her legacy and the monarchy, you know, of the United Kingdom, you know, still is felt. I did not know that, I really didn't until today, that Queen Elizabeth is the head of state in Jamaica. I just did not know that. I must be the only one.
No, you know? I'm with you on that one.
I mean, that just, it's like, whoa. So, you know, it's, yeah, and they're in the process of, well, I guess now it won't be as difficult. You know, they were in the process of pushing her monarchy out of the picture. I don't know how much, you know, King Charles is going to come in wanting to try to reestablish his foot in the ground, you know, his foothold. It'll be interesting to see. But there's no question about it that in the air there was, you know, clearly some worldwide discomfort with the colonializing that the United Kingdom has done and still has in effect, you know, has some degree of a foothold on so many of the countries of color, you know, much of the riches, even though the Queen herself is not a billionaire, so to say. She's rich. She was rich. And the monarchy has been rich. And the history of the monarchy has been rich. And their fortune has been made off of the sweat of, you know, enslavement, and primarily people of color. So,
yeah.
You know, I would imagine that because there's so much similarity between, you know, the United Kingdom's history and the United States, that one would kind of like negate the other because, you know, this country is big on hiding this history. But be all that as it may, still the United Kingdom outlawed slavery before the United States did. So, you know, it's like, okay, so that's cool with slavery, but what about with colonializing, you know? So we go round and round. I guess my point is, yeah, I guess we can, you know, do what the media does. We can build it up. We can get into the pomp and circumstance. We can, you know, glamorize and glorify, you know, her reign and just put a jaundiced eye on the negative aspects of it, because that's what we do here in this country all the time. You know, even Biden himself made a statement that, you know, kind of speaks to that when he, you know, in so many words said that she really represented everything that was noble, you know, about the royal family, you know, but never really talking about, you know, the monarchy, you know, which is a sovereign rule, which, you know, just, there, you know, this is it, this is how it is, and just shut up about it, you know. So, yeah, I don't know, you know, like, I mean, obviously, you know, 96 years is a long time. But, of course, I'm not in my 80s yet. You know, like to think of somebody dying when they were 60, you know, when I was like 15, it was like, well, I didn't live a good life. You know, and it's like when I became 40, it's like, 60 ain't that old. And then when I became 60, suddenly 70 wasn't that old. So I imagine when I become, if I'm so blessed, when I become 80, 96 ain't going to be that old. But you know what they say, the only person worried about living to be 100 is the person who's 99. You know, so, yeah, I guess it's all relative, you know. But the reign, regardless of, you know, the lifetime, the reign, you know, has expanded for, you know, what, 7 decades, you know, so. You know, 25 years old when she took over, and when she was, you know, she was actually 26 when she was crowned Queen Elizabeth II. You know, but still, you know, her time started, you know, the same year that King George died. So, you know, point being that, you know, a lot of people, like if I lived in, well, just living in America, but if I lived in the United Kingdom, she would have been the only, you know, head of state, the only ruler, figurehead or whatever, it doesn't matter, that I would have known my whole lifetime. That would be like living, you know, although it wouldn't be so bad, you know, if Barack Obama had been president for 70 years, you know. It's just kind of deep, you know, yeah, to think about it in contrast. But stepping into her reign in, what, 22, I think it was, 1922. You know, no, it couldn't have been. It had to be, like, later than that. That's just my math is screwed up.
52.
Yeah, 52, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, just think of what the world was going, like, I was five, okay? So what was going on in the world, you know, in the 50s? And for that whole first half of the century, you know, and the beginning of the 20th century, you know, England was top dog. You know, England, you know, had it all going. It was the economic power. It was number one all the way down. It's just 100 years. Look how things shifted. So, you know, it would have been something to have been living under that rule, you know, right there in that country. So I imagine that, you know, although you read about Canadians, especially Canadians of color, you know, at least those that I've read, you know, I'm sure there's others to offset it, but, you know, those who have the power of the pen, those who, you know, are like writing editorials, they don't have too much favorable stuff to say about the Queen's rule. You know, they're pretty point blank and blunt about, you know, the racism, you know, and how it affected, you know, especially Canadians of color. So, you know, anyway, yeah, I don't know. I don't, because that hasn't been a real clear point of discussion in American politics or media. You know, mine is like an opinion that will only be solidified in research. I have absolutely no real feel one way or the other what, you know, that figurehead truly represented. You know, I know she wasn't a person with absolute power. She wasn't like the chess piece, you know, that reflects the Queen. You know, although she did travel a lot, you know, and she didn't have to have a passport. Isn't that a trip? She didn't have to have a passport because in Britain, the passports have the Queen's picture on it. So she's the Queen. So she didn't have to have a passport because she is the passport. So wow. She visited like 116 countries in her reign. You know, so she, you know, she moved around a lot. But her power is kind of sketchy and almost some of it's almost humorous, like, she doesn't have to have a, she's not required to have a driver's license, and she doesn't have to have license plates on her car. She doesn't have to adhere to any of the speed limits, and she cannot be arrested, man. Mm-hmm. She has absolute sovereignty. That's kind of deep, you know? I guess that's what Trump was shooting for, you know, trying to be a little bit of this, trying to be a little bit of that, somewhere trying to be an emperor, a dictator, and a monarch. But I guess his main focus was just not to be arrested. Yeah, well, good luck, dude. Yeah. I don't know, man. What are your thoughts about all that? Sorry to go on and on.
No, you're good. And I don't want to dangle on this carrot for that long. Just reminds me a couple of things. Just reflecting back.
I don't want to dangle on this carrot for that long. Go ahead. Sorry, I like that. I'm writing that down on my napkin.
All right, on your napkin. Just makes me reflect on our discussions off, you know, personal and on the shows. And like you said, the similarities between the United Kingdom and the United States as far as the colonizations and slavery, you know, and, you know, yeah, they're so rich. I mean, but, you know, they don't produce any gold, you know, but they operate the second largest vault of gold in the world, you know.
Take like, that, man.
Most of it, you know, a lot of it from like South Africa and stuff like that. But, you know, it makes me ask the question, you know, what's her story and who's telling her story and how are they telling her story? You know, there's these, you know, we have these TV shows that we see. You know, and we hear about all these things and, oh, well, you know, she meant this and she was that. And she met all these rulers and she could travel, you know, all this stuff that diplomats and things like that. You know, she was diplomatic and she did this and she did that. But again, who's telling which part of the story? You know, and there's only so much that we hear about, but there are other things like American history that we don't really hear about, but it's there. But we have to research it, you know, and you know, about the gold and about how Charles II, You heard me. You caught me catching up on my homework, and the discussion I was listening to was about, they were talking about Charles III, but and how he still has to play off the shadow of Charles II, and you know, starting one of the, even though they ended slavery before the United States, they were like the first ones to start slavery, this whole slave
right.
trade, you know,
right?
So
yeah,
you know, it was
good
like
point. Yeah.
You know, and even in talking about with the gold and then the colonization of like East Africa with Kenya and all they did in Kenya. And like I said, I'm not going to get into a lot of details. But again, it's just the, you know, what's the story that we're hearing of this British Empire, the empire, you know, and colonizing Africa like Manifest Destiny in the United States. You know, it's just so many similarities, you know, except they offered reparations for some Kenyans, whereas we don't get none here.
But you know, we're kind of shifting into the country versus country, and it's really about the legacy of the Queen, you know, and where she was in a position to, in fact, give some of that stuff back that her royal family benefited from. She
did not
make a stand about reparations. You know,
yeah.
she never considered, well, as far as, you know, the media reports, but like you said, who knows what was the workings of her inner mind. There was no outward expressions that suggested she had any intention on returning any of the wealth stolen from other countries. You know, so, you know, It's the question is how much, you know, is it kicking dirt, you know, in the grave, you know, to talk about what history didn't necessarily share continuously throughout her reign? You know, is it, you know, let the dead, you know, bury the dead? You know, I get conflicted because one half of me is like, well, I'm not going to overreact to something I don't know and something that I directly don't feel I've been touched by. But at the same time, I find myself kind of like drawing a sharp breath when I hear and I see my people, you know, watching TV and actually, you know, like getting into some states of remorse or whatever over watching this TV funeral. It's like, well, you know, is it just because of celebrity status that people tend to feel somehow attached, you know, to those who die? I mean, you know, Princess Diana, I kind of had, it's like, okay, I'm not getting it. And I know that that's not how people are supposed to talk. I'm hearing myself, and I know that's not how, you know, people say all the other things. Well, okay, yeah, I'm old. I'm past the state of caring about. You know, I don't, from a black male perspective, who's lived in this country for 75 years, I don't get it, you know.
But what's wrong with saying that? I think more people should say, I don't get it.
I would welcome the company. But it's like either what's acceptable is either watching it and showing some kind of signs of feeling or sadness or remorse or not saying anything at all. Well, not saying anything at all to me is permission to let things be the way they seem to be. So I'd rather go ahead and say, you know, how it feels to me rather than let people assume that I'm being touched like those who are outwardly showing this affection for somebody who they don't know and if had any impact on their lives. I'm talking about people of color. It would have been negative. You know, but nothing positive comes from that, you know. So you know, I just don't know at this state in my life how to turn a blind eye to, you know, what just seems so hypocritical to me. But,
yeah.
Hey, what do I know, man? You know, I mean, I just lifted my ban on boycotting the NFL. Hey, Colin Kaepernick ain't been hired by nobody yet, so what do I know, man?
Wait, that was a, ladies and gentlemen, that was a, it wasn't a jab. That was an uppercut directed right at me. Let me tell you all, that's
well, man, I was trying to be on your side, man. I was trying to take the brunt of it off of you, man.
They run the bell at the end of the round, and Dad came up behind me and whack, just gave me a nice little uppercut.
Cold cock, yeah. Oh, man, I was taking a brother to blow for you, bro. I don't know what you're talking about, man.
I appreciate that.
I lifted my boycott. I didn't say nothing about you. Yeah, see, so, nobody would have known if you hadn't opened your mouth.
I can't help it, man. That's why, hey, you know, I didn't know, right? but it's not the same thing. So what, let me just you know, I don't want it to be just a, like you said, just a personal joke. So
inside joke, right?
So. For those that may know, I haven't been following the NFL in, I don't know, 4 years maybe? Maybe 5 years? 4 or 5 years.
I don't know.
Like
probably just as many people don't care, but go ahead.
Well, yeah. So anyway, I decided to lift my fan, and I was, you know, watching the NFL and stuff like that. So that's all he's talking about. That was about me.
But why did you do it in the first place? It had to do with Kaepernick, right?
No. It was before Cap. It was just that everything with Cap just added on to my own personal issues I had with them. And I'll just be real quick. You know, like I believe October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and it's also Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And as many, you know, they have a whole bunch. Well, they used to have. They don't talk about it now. They probably keep it under wraps, but there were so many issues of domestic violence, and I felt that I personally felt that they could have at least addressed that.
That's,
you know,
right,
that it's a problem. But if they address that it's a problem, then they'll address that it's a problem with, you know, with how they play because of all the concussions, all the injuries that come from playing the game, and some of that spills over into domestic violence issues because of all the stuff that happens to them.
Brain damage,
thank you. And so they've never really addressed it. And I felt that they could have, especially, you know, with Ray Rice and a couple other guys that they were in the news, and they just never did. You know, and I think there was even one time where a player had wore purple because they wore purple. You know, they were pink for breast cancer awareness. Domestic violence awareness is purple. And I remember there was one year where a player wore purple and they fined it. They gave the guy a fine for wearing purple. And, I just didn't like it. It just left a bad taste in my mouth. And I was like, you know what? You know, I'm just going to. And that was just my own personal little thing at the NFL. And I didn't think anybody was really going to be interested. That's why I never really said anything about it. But
I think it's an interesting story. I don't think it requires that people have noticed that you had boycotted, but at the same time, you know, it would have been an interesting thing to review every year. Like, you know, especially if we had a show going and could make, still holding on to my boycott and still give the reasons why. I mean, that's a valid reason for me. Too many athletes are kind of held, you know, at arms, kind of, you know, held on a pedestal, and the issues of social, you know, discord don't always reach them. So I think you're raising some very good points. I forgot, you know, what the original reason was, man. You know, I think that's something well worth revisiting. You know, who knows? You might have been able to start a movement. Hold the NFL accountable, man. I mean, you know, there's so many tragic stories, right? And we only get the media's version of it, you know, and the NFL's cloaked in secrecy, so we only get what they allow the media to print, you know. So hasn't that always been the case throughout sports?
Always.
You know, in the 50s, baseball players were held above reproach. You know, there were no scandals of baseball players all the way up to and including the 50s. you just never heard anything about baseball players, you know. But remember, they were all white until, you know, the late 40s, you know, and even then just a spattering of black baseball players. So they were always held in such high esteem. But suddenly, you know, in the late 50s and early 60s, so many other things started coming to light, you know, but I think influenced by, you know, the inclusion of black athletes. It just seems to always be, as long as, you know, white American can tell its own history, it always comes out pristine, you know. But as soon as it can throw some drama in there, it's never directed toward itself. It always has to do with non-white, you know, episodes, you know. And I think that's a very good point that you just talked about, man. You know, so Kaepernick, yeah, that came after the fact. Yeah, man, that just added fuel to the fire for you, right,
added,
man?
Yeah, that just added fuel to the fire, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. See, and with me, it was Tim Tebow and Kaepernick. You know, with Kaepernick, before Kaepernick, Tebow was kneeling at the, when the national anthem was being played because of his protest about abortion. You know, but he was kneeling. You know, he was protesting with the playing of the national anthem. But he was held in high esteem for doing that. Kaepernick, you know, was kicked out of football because he was speaking from, you know, a black perspective. It's, but people never look at those comparisons, man. It's in this country. Instead, let's just whitewash it. You know, what a perfect word. You know,
yeah.
Wow. So here we are, you know, with more whitewashing going on, you know. So I'm sorry, man. It wasn't my intention to embarrass you or anything. I'm actually kind of glad that I said what I said to cause you to say what you said, man, to bring it all out there. I think that's something that you ought to represent, you know, in a future show about what your boycott of the NFL has revealed for you. Maybe the rest of us could learn from.
I would be willing to, you know, follow up with some more research. You know, if there's anything that maybe they have, you know, done some things, you know, to better support.
Well, they have. Yeah, they have. I mean, they have done some things, but because that hasn't been the focus of any of our discussions, I would just be, you know, paraphrasing and just shooting in the dark, trying to pluck some things out of the sky. But they have made some improvements, you know. But what improvements is the question. And what still, you know, hasn't gotten any better, you know. Because I forget the name of that particular brain damage, what it's called. It's a long word. But they can't do any types of symptomatology on the brain until after the person's dead to see if, in fact, they've suffered from that malady. So I'd like to know what research has been done and has revealed and has advanced itself to maybe be a little bit more cognizant of the symptoms. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of shocking, you know, to see play stopped and watch a dude being led into the tent, you know, to have...
Yeah.
You know, they have to go through some concussion protocol. It's like, wow. I mean, there's no, yeah, the referee decides that, you know, no, it's like now it doesn't matter what's going on in the game. It don't matter what the status of the player is. You know, it's like, nope, this is everything that's in our rule book that says based on this collision that just happened, this dude got to go in the tent. You know, he ain't stumbling on the sidelines. Or, you know, although that would be one, but it's just, you know, just based on, you know, just based on the kind of hit that happens. You know, that's kind of deep.
Yep.
And I can almost feel some people being annoyed by that. Like, yeah, man, football, let's come on, give on. It's crazy, man. Boxing,
Yeah, it's weird, you know, and it's weird to walk into a room and guys like, who you got this year, man? Football, who you got? Who you got this year? And it's like, that's how they start off the discussion. It's like, I haven't watched football. Like, I didn't know, like, your man got traded. You were like, damn. You know, it's like, how do you...
Now, Russell Wilson, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, that's still another point there, you know, like, because you were big on fantasy football. I remember you and Armand and Brandon, I think, but I know you and Armand definitely were big on talking about it, man. Y'all were helping me understand what the big foo-frau was about fantasy football. And all of a sudden, I remember some conversation, you said, no, I ain't doing that, Dad. I said, damn. So, you know, I mean, right off of your boycott, man. Sorry I wasn't more supportive of it.
That's cool, man. We're good. But, yeah, I will follow up, man, and do some more research on that and come back, you know, come back another day and we can talk about it. CTE is the I'm not going
to
try to
pronounce abbreviation. Right. That's that's a long word. Yeah, man. Will Smith played the doctor who actually wasn't even a doctor, you know, who uncovered the symptoms that led to the, you know, discovery of the trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, Concussion, the name of the movie. Good movie. I don't know if you saw it or not. You know,
once
too bad he wasn't thinking about, huh?
I saw it once or twice. Well, maybe.
Oh,
twice.
You have seen it. Okay. All right.
So.
Yeah.
I think so.
Too bad he wasn't thinking about Concussion before he slapped the hell out of Chris Rock. All right. I'm sorry. I just
you can't help yourself,
kidding.
Man. I know.
I just can't. Well, people are still talking about it, man. Come on. It's like that. Y'all ain't let that rest yet. So this is going to be talked about. Man, this is just going to get stirred up again when the next Academy Award show rolls around. Oh, my God. I know comedians are just going to be stoked. Okay, so where are we? Have we gone off the rail yet?
I haven't.
I don't know about you, man, but I'm loving this, man. Okay, I see you got Adam in the queue. You want to bring him in?
Yeah, we can bring him in the queue. Absolutely. Hey, Primo, what's good, man? How you doing, Adam?
Hey, what's up, you guys? How you doing tonight?
Doing well.
Hey, Adam, I got a couple questions for you.
Yes, sir.
Not just messing with you. Go ahead, man.
Well, I got a couple questions for you guys. So, Will, what changed your stance about boycotting football?
It's a little bit of – it's a mixture of different feelings, and I'm going to be kind of open here. Part of it is embarrassment. Part of it is wanting to kind of fit in a little bit.
Wow.
And part of it is because I miss the – you know, part of me miss it, miss seeing the games and the – you know, the strategy that goes behind it. That's like the big three.
Okay.
You know, that's not to say that I still, you know, wouldn't, I, you know, like I said, I'm still going to research and see, you know, what have they been doing, you know, just because I'm not watching the game anymore. And, you know, just because I'm starting to watch the games again, doesn't mean that I still, you know, can't support victims of domestic violence, especially those that are partners or married to players in the NFL, you know?
Yeah.
So that's really why, man. I mean, I'm just, you know, being straight up with it. Like I said, it's, man, look, when I went down to Dallas for Ray and Jan's wedding, we were in the restaurant, me and Sue and my mom. No, actually, we were at a bar. And the bartender, you could tell that the guy was in shape. He was in military, actually. But they had a preseason game on, and I'm watching it, you know, and he just jumps right into a conversation and says, who you got this year? And it's like, you know, so it's hard to respond, you know. You know, so it's this male ego that kicks in, and it's like, well, I can't admit to this guy that I'm boycotting football. And so, you know, my response was, well, yeah, I'm from Chicago, man, so it's always the Bears, you know. And he just looked at me like, okay, and that was it, you know. So, honestly, that's it.
I have a friend who was my college roommate for a couple of years, and he was a diehard Cowboys fan. And now he despises the Cowboys and just doesn't agree with them because of what Jerry Jones said about kneeling for the flag and something to the effect of none of my players will ever kneel. But then he spoke out for Ezekiel Elliott after he had gotten his domestic abuse charges. Mm. So it is so respectful and so applaudable that people actually take that stance. And it's just, it's little things like that, like you not watching football. It, you know, I applaud you for that.
Well,
I'm in Texas, and I'll never be a Cowboys fan for as long as Jerry Jones is the owner. And actually, he flip-flopped. At first, he did kneel with his players. And then it was almost like his cronies put too much pressure on him. And then suddenly, he made the statement that you just alluded to, Adam. He completely flip-flopped. At first, he was like kneeling with them. And then suddenly, nobody's going to kneel. You know. And now I watch this guy like the emperor sitting up there in his skybox, man, and the greatest thrill I get, you know, and the Ezekiel thing that happened, you know, and the greatest thrill I get is when they lose and they show a shot of him. No, but that, you know, I feel for the team, but it's the shot of him up there after, you know, his mighty team has fallen, you know, you know, but you talk about pressure, Will. I mean, like, I'm under the gun right here, you know, in the Dallas area, you know, and I've just absolutely cannot be a Cowboys fan as long as this dude is running the show, you know. Just no way, no matter what. So, yeah, but it is something. I mean, like, I don't know where the embarrassment came from. You know, I know that you and I, Will, hardly ever talked about football, hardly ever, you know, until just today, really. You know, I don't know what kind of peer pressure you might have been under. You know, or if it was self-imposed, you know, because I know sometimes I can take a stance about something and then I become my own embarrassment, you know, about a stance I'll take because I'll make it more of a pressure on me than it needs to be, you know. But anyway, all that be as it may, I mean, you know, it's still just an issue now that is so far beyond anything that I ever knew growing up, you know, where sports is such an incredible business right now that the idea of sportsmanship is, you know, just it's a lost aspect of the game. You know, the game is even a lost aspect of the game now. You know, I see politics and I mean, like, why the playing of the national anthem before a football game or any sports event? That ain't got nothing to do with it. You know, just play the game or just play the national anthem. The national anthem has nothing to do with the game, and not every game plays it. You know, so you know, that's total politics there. You know, I mean, it ain't got nothing to do with, you know, patriotism. You know, it has to do with politics. So anyway, you know, Adam, I'm sorry, man, I kind of took you off your stride.
I have another, and this one I have a question, and I want somebody else's take on it. So people that go to church, before they get in the pew, they genuflect, and they kneel before the cross. So how is that not disrespectful, but kneeling to protest something is? And it's not apples and apples by any means. Why is one thing, when you kneel at one thing, it's respectful, but you kneel at something else, people see it as disrespectful? I want your guys' take on that. If there's even a take or, you know, if there's even any comment to make about that.
You're speaking
about,
you're talking about the Kaepernick kneeling thing?
So they got on Kaepernick because he knelt while they're playing the national anthem. But then when you go to church, before you go into a pew, you kneel. and do the sign.
But they're not playing the national anthem, though, man. You're not going to the church, and they're like, you know. And I already made the comment about Kaepernick compared to Tim Tebow.
The situations
were the same, but the circumstances panned out totally different. So that to me is the comparison, but not, you know, it's like, you know, people kneel before Christ ain't the same as kneeling before the national anthem. I'm sorry, man. I don't get the parody there, man.
I was just gonna say this, Adam, and you know, like people pay what, $200-$300 for seats to go watch this game, right? And they don't want to see people kneeling. You know, it don't cost nothing to go to church. You need to kneel and you can do whatever. But, you know, I'm
paying
$300,
$400.
Unless I see money, you know, I'm picking it up from the pew, you know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, just straight up, man. We paying this money, man, it's a business. And business don't have time for people to be kneeling for a positive cause. You know? I mean, and Tebow's cause was positive, but the whole thing and being received and all that stuff, that's the debate. What makes these two different? You know, kneeling in church versus kneeling before the national anthem. There you go right there. That's what the difference is.
Kneeling before the national anthem because of Black Lives Matter versus kneeling before the national anthem because of
abortion.
Issues. You know, so, you know, it's all about who's in power, y'all. You know, and whoever's in power dictates the policy. Everybody else just reacts to it, you know. So, but Will, you raised a very good point. What's the greater number of people that attend, you know, sports games, you know, because the prices now for tickets are, you know, have just about completely eliminated a guy on a fixed income like me forever going to a game. I mean, I remember we went to a baseball game. You took me, you and some friends, and we were like in the nosebleed section. You know, I mean, you know, it was great to be in a ballpark, but it's like, that's about the only kind of ticket I could afford to attend, you know, where I got to kind of have a little 9-inch TV with me so I can see the game, you know. But like going to a football game, I can't even imagine paying $200 or $300 for a basketball game. I mean, it's the price of athletics now. But you raise a good point. So the people who are paying, you know, this price to go to these games, I mean, what's the breakdown culturally? I mean, like, probably it's going to be more like 75%, you know, upper class, you know, 75-80% white and 80% male, you know. So, like, you know, and what is the political breakdown of them? I think we get down to why the reactions are so, you know, so different. You know, you got a black dude kneeling, you got a white dude kneeling. You got a black dude, partially black, kneeling, you know, who is taking a stance of Black Lives, right away that's going to get a negative reaction. That's just the way America is. The only way Donald Trump ever could have got to be president, the only way he could still have his face in the media, as crooked as he is, you know. But Tim Tebow, you know, lousy football player professionally, lousy baseball player professionally, going to Canada, still couldn't make it, and he still gets tryouts. Kaepernick, you know, yeah, he got paid off. Nobody will ever know. The deal was that you don't reveal how much you got paid off, but he don't get to come back, you know. So that's white politics in action, you know, as far as I'm concerned. That's my opinion. But that's a very good point, man. These folks who are sitting in these seats, they're saying what they're going to be okay with and what they're not going to be okay with. So right on. That's a very good point, Will. Never thought of that.
Yeah. And, you know, and then...
And the owners know it. And the owners know it, right? Oh, shoot, man. They ain't going to cut off their nose despite their face.
No, and we don't want to be reminded about... And I'm saying we, meaning I'm being a typical white male American who can afford good seats at a football game or an owner. You know, I don't want to be reminded about... this thing that's happening, you know, especially if we got to draw the line between police and you know, Black America. So I don't want to be reminded of the false,
of the brutality,
the wrongdoings. Kind of like America, we don't want to be reminded of how we treat what we've done or what we're doing. We don't want to.
Yeah. Right, don't want to be reminded of that because I'm paying money to watch the majority of these Black athletes perform. I mean, see, that's the hypocrisy of it all.
So I can,
you know,
make money off
cheering,
of the performance.
And I'm cheering these guys out there on the field, but they better not move next door to me. They better not have a statement about social policy. They sure better not take a knee, you know, but I'll pay money to come and cheer from them. They're still my heroes on the field. That's a man, man, that is.
They better not hit my white quarterback under the knee and hurt him.
Oh,
well, I don't know about
the
that.
Team. Right. They
yeah.
want blood,
yeah,
brother. What
yeah.
you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, put them down.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about all that, you know. I mean, you know, like, because, I mean, like, you know, I don't think that's – well, I don't know. In my opinion, you know, there are just as many dominant Black quarterbacks now. You know, like the era of the pure white quarterback is kind of gone. So, you know, you better not injure my Black quarterback. I mean, my point is they in the stands paying $200-$300 to cheer for their heroes on the field. But as soon as they take off their uniforms, they're just another nigga. You know, that's my point. You know, there's always going to be the Tom Brady's. There's always going to be the what's the boy out of
the Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, you know, Brett Favre, even, you know, there's always going to be them dudes, but, you know, you got you got that boy in Kansas City, you got that, you know, you got this dude in Baltimore, you got some, you know, and this boy in Chicago, I think he's starting to make a little noise. You know? I don't know, so I don't
he
think
was
he's
good just, last yesterday.
Well, he did the second half, yeah. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's so much, you know, by hands off my white quarterback, especially if the white quarterback ain't on, you know, if he's playing for Tampa Bay and he's up here in Green Bay, I ain't kill him. You know, but I hear what you're saying, Adam. I hear you, man. But my thing is that these folks are paying this money to cheer for their heroes on the field. They're these caricatures or something. They're these video game figures. But I'm not going to give you 2 cents, you know, if I see you walking down the street with a white girl, let's say, you know, you're going to, or if I see you driving in the wrong neighborhood, if I see you holding up a sign that says Black Lives Matter, if I see you, you know, feeding the hungry, you know, oh, no, then, you know, then you know.
I'm a cheer for you on the field, but once you get off the field, just realize that you got to stay in your lane.
Got to stay in your lane, and I get to say what lane that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's the hypocrisy of America, though, you know. And that's part of what we really had intentions on talking about tonight. But still, you know, it's funny how this works out. You know, it's still talking about the same thing. It's just taking a different, you know, direction. But it's still the hypocrisy of America that, you know, and so much of it is brought to light through how America's responding to the Queen's death. You know, it's this kind of, well, for lack of a better word, this hypocrisy. You know, I know we like to think of this country as being a democratic country, but, you know, it's hypocrisy. You know, it can't be a democratic society. Living the way it's living, you know, allowing its figures to get away with what it's allowing its figures to get away with. It has declared war on the poor, not war on poverty. You know, it's shaming women while doing research on Viagra. I mean, it's letting people into the Supreme Court that have obvious biases. You know, they're not even going to hide them behind their robes. They're going to use them as their platform to get nominated, you know, and to get elected into, you know, this supposedly sacred bench so that they can back political agenda when the court is supposed to be completely removed from that. Even Reagan said that. I mean, Reagan, Ronald Reagan, you can't get any more right-wing than him. You know, he was the ruler of the silent majority. you know, even he said church and state will never, you know, meet on the same road, you know. But then again, he's also the same person that says, you know, trees cause air pollution. So what do you get? And he's called the great communicator. And I, you know, man, anyway, so here we are, right? It's it's almost like these kind of side issues have to be talked about so we can really get to the main points, you know, because the main points are so hidden and so held underwater. I mean, like I watched Hidden Figures the other day, you know, on a commercial. It wasn't a commercial free network, so I had to deal with it through commercials, and I hate trying to watch a movie these days because I've been spoiled by cable. But I'm just, as many times as I've seen it in the past, it just gets me that I've watched movies like First Man, I've watched movies like The Right Stuff, and I've watched so many other space movies, and how absolutely nothing has been said about these black women who made it happen. You know, and this is in my lifetime. You know, this, man, this is an amazing thing this country is, what it does to distort history for its own gain when it's supposed to be supposedly selling the picture to the rest of the world that this is where you bring your lame, your cripple, your short of tooth, or whatever the thing says. Statue of Liberty, that the original design was a black woman with broken chains at her bottom of her feet. You know, man, I tell you, oh my God, okay.
But
history
like
is a dangerous thing. Yeah.
But like you guys were saying earlier, okay, the queen died. Everybody's in mourning, but why?
Yeah, what's the point? Yeah.
But to that, we don't live there. So, you know.
So I can dig it, them being in mourning. Yeah, I mean, that's their queen.
Yeah. But why is it such big news
here?
Why is it such big news here? I was talking to a client today. She's like, oh, I have a shrine of the queen. I can't believe the queen died. I'm in mourning. The hell the queen do for you?
Did you ask her? Did you ask him why?
Of course he did.
No.
Because we've been trained not to. Yeah. Yeah. That's good training, Adam.
Good training. But like I said, I mean, it's and I get it because I probably wouldn't say anything either. But it's like
unless it was somebody who I was really good friends with and used to getting into these skirmishes with. Go ahead, Will. Sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm just saying, I don't get it. And that's, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, what we were saying earlier. What happened with the skirmishes?
No, I was just saying, unless it's somebody who I'm, you know, close enough with where we have skirmishes, meaning we have debates on a lot of things. And if that was somebody who, you know, like, which, you know, probably be a white friend of mine, more than likely female, who like the same kind of person who was pining over Princess Diana's death, you know, probably the same kind of person would be pining over Queen Elizabeth's death. And, you know, that would be a question of, well, why? And then we would get into, you know, our black and white skirmish. Maybe y'all don't have friends like that, but, you know, like, you know, I'm thinking of a couple of people right now that, yeah, if they had told me they had a shrine for Queen Elizabeth, oh, I wouldn't have hesitated to ask, why the hell you got that? Because that's somebody, you know, but just somebody who I don't really know, just kind of an associate or an acquaintance, and just talking about the news off the cuff, you know, kind of like, Will, what you experienced at the restaurant bar, you know, when the dude said, so who's your pick?
Who you got?
You know, it's like, well, yeah, who you got? Yeah, hey, you know, like take the high ground, right? Oh, I'm from Chicago. I got the Reds. Oh, yeah, okay. So, you know, like, right. I got a shrine for Queen. Oh, is this somebody who's like I just ran into? Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess so. I might even go so far to say, oh, yeah, sorry for your loss.
Yeah, I almost said that too. I almost said that. And Bill, I'm gonna have an appointment with this client, and I'm flying you up here, and you're coming with me so we can see the shrine.
Yeah, right on, man. Oh my God. Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, this is, just such a. Go ahead, whoever.
It's
just such a quirky time, man. We just live in such a quirky time. I mean, it's just, you know, it's everything. Everything is suspect right now, or under scrutiny, under reexamination. It's just everything. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm still stunned by how insensitive Black folks are to white people using the term nigga when that's all we use. It's like, you know, I mean, it's in TV shows with, you know, man, in the 60s, that was other than to make a point. Now it's for entertainment. I mean, it's in the music. It's you know, on the playground. It's on the field. It's, you know, I mean, and then we're going to get offended. I mean, that's kind of trippy to me. I mean, that's really kind of schizophrenic, you know. But, you know, it's the name of the game right now. You know, it's like political correctness. Obviously, that's a thing of the past, but there is political consequences, and nobody can seem to dictate what the next move like that is going to be. You know, this is just such a quirky time, you know, man. And some people really take all this seriously. Oh, my God. You know, like the election, you know, does it really matter who wins? I mean, really. Does it really matter? This country is still going to do what it does. You know, man, I mean, like Biden. Hey, Joe, man, I love you, bro. But, you know, what impact has he really made to change the face of this country for the better? Yeah, I know, you know, things have improved economically. Well, they were going to improve. They always do, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as far as the confrontations of the obvious, no, man, this country still is hesitant to do that. It's still hesitant to admit, yeah, we've really done Black people wrong. And that has to be my platform until I'm voted out of office. I got to keep talking about, you know, the way we have just done Black folks wrong. There's no way we can go any other country and talk about anything else that needs to change. We can't go to Ukraine or nowhere until we straighten out the mess right here in our country. Well, that ain't going to happen. So whoever's elected, it's just going to be either they're going to get a big piece of the pie or they're going to get the big piece of the pie. But we're going to still be the pawns, you know, that just get the crust, you know, the edge of the crust. Anyway, sorry, I've really gone off the rails now. I know I have. Yeah.
No,
I'm sorry, Will. Yeah, well,
I'm not according to
my EP.
Thank you for saying
that, Adam. But you ain't the person I have to talk to at 8:05. I mean, well, 9:05 now.
No, call me 9:04. We'll talk.
It's fine. It's fine. I'm enjoying this. Because, like you said, it's still is along the lines of what we wanted to continue from last week anyway. This is just a different way of looking at it. And again, and I'll say it again, I know some people out there are like, oh, here we go. They about to start talking about, yeah, I'm going to talk about how much I enjoy doing this show. And I get to have this time with you and with Adam, you know, and our other family that calls it. But to be able to have these discussions and how they still relate, how we can talk about colonization of Kenya in the 19th century and how we, you know, and how it plays to America and how it's still dealing with the issues of today, to even watching football and dealing with, you know, all this stuff in football and politics. You know what I mean? It's again, connecting these dots. And sometimes you catch me sometimes because I'm just sitting back listening and in my mind I'm picturing this dot over here. Oh, damn, this was a dot we talked about last year. Let me pull this over here. You know, in my mind, you know, it's trippy sometimes, you know.
In this,
what did you say? In this time is what? It's a quirky. What kind of time? Quirky. quirky time right
yeah.
now. And so in this quirky time, I'm tripping, you know. And so that's really a funny to drink.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So, you know, so here we are. Wednesday, Dysfunctional by Design will be the focus of the discussion from my end anyway, maybe. But it definitely will be the topic. It will be the topic on display. And if we get to it, we will. If not, we won't. But it's always there. And no matter what, as we have shown show after show. And I just, before I even go into, you know, there may be those who say, oh, there they go again. They're getting ready to talk about how much they enjoy. But, you know, I don't think people who tune in are going to take that stance. I think it's the people who have stopped tuning in for that very reason. But I think, though, at least the feedback I get, the majority that who make comments about how much they enjoy hearing our bantering, you know, hearing our patter, hearing, you know, even the three of us, you know, regardless
yeah, say, Adam,
of what direction it goes. Yeah. You know, that it's kind of like people tune in to watch a food show. Well, people are talking about the topics of the day while a cat's over on the side cooking a meal for them. So if they can watch that, they can hear this, you know. Shoot. I think it's great that until we get competition, you know, I think it's great that the uniqueness in this lies in the fact of how family-oriented it is. I mean, here we got two cousins, you know, three cousins, a father and a son, you know, and the Holy Ghost, you know, talking about, you know, the
Amen.
Events of the day. Go ahead.
No, I said amen.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't know, man. I think that's, you know, if we had like a audience of millions, you know, then everybody would be tuning in and talking about how they were with us from the beginning, from the ground floor, you know, but it's a select audience, you know, that, you know, listens, I think, because there's a degree of continuity. There's an aspect of appreciation. There's the uniqueness, the nuance, you know, of a show being led by a son and a father. You know, I don't know, man. I think that's like black on top of it without slamming white. It ain't like an anti-white show.
Without a whole bunch of profanity.
Yeah. And our profanity is for effect, not for entertainment. I mean, you know, it's like it ain't a part of the conversation. It's to drive home a point when another word just fell short, you know. But we don't specialize in that. We ain't going to, you know, be slinging the N-word all over the place or MF, you know, every other. I ain't going to be part of your introduction. What's up, MFs? Like so many black comedians do. I still don't get that joke. I don't know why that's so funny, but yeah, I'm old.
But also the longevity that you guys have, and you, how long you guys have done that.
Yeah.
And the fact that a father and son can do a radio show.
And we still talk to each other.
And still be friends.
And sometimes
right.
agree
and
sometimes disagree. Now, if Will ever starts the show and says, "Oh yeah, and I got my dad here," but like that, just that. Oh, some people call him the Lions historian. Some people call him other stuff. I call him my best friend.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
That's so special.
And those from my grain, from my neck of the woods. You know, from my sphere of influence, whatever, and age doesn't have anything to do with it. You know, it's just that, especially for the brothers who, I can't say that because, you know, females too. You know, they just the idea of a father and son kicking it like that, you know, and with intelligence. You know, I mean, twice a week. Man. Yeah.
On the regular.
Yeah, on the regular. Yeah, man. It's such an honor for me to be doing this with my oldest son, man. Y'all don't know. And you don't need to, you know.
If they listen, they know.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, Will, it's almost 8:30. Let me get out the way so you can land this airplane. Adam, thanks again, as always. I love you guys, man.
Thank you, guys. Love you, too.
Love you, too. Yeah, it is an honor. Ooh, I'm just sitting here, man, just reflecting for a moment, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen, where we try to provide an opportunity.
Yeah, we try to do it in an hour.
In an hour? We hope to provide an opportunity where we exercise critical thinking, experience a renewed self-awareness, and maybe even a deeper connection to others and their experience, especially when we share interpretations and feelings. You know, let me just say this in response to what you said, Dad, and what Adam said, too. It's this ability to, we still are able to connect. You know, even if it's just a little bit, we're able to connect your generation, me and Adam.
Yeah.
You know, maybe one day I'm hoping that Jackson will listen to this, you know, and it will connect some things for him and he'll have aha moments, you know. It's, you know, where people build these shrines for these monarchs and for these leaders that they know nothing about because it looks sexy, because it looks good, because that's the latest Netflix episode they watched on TV.
Yeah.
You know, but then it's our discussions and our shows that brings me back, and I think Adam and some of the listeners out there, you know, that this isn't, you know, this isn't how things started. You know, what you dealt with was things that we don't know nothing about, but it's because of your struggles and the things that you deal with is how we got to where we are at this moment. And then hopefully the next generation, you know, we'll see, oh, not only will they connect Jackson, will connect me and him, but he was like, oh, my granddad is trippy, man, but you got to hear these shows he did, you know, and what he had to deal with. You know, that's the kind of stuff that I kind of hope for with doing this with you and with Adam.
Well, that's what we do. Yeah,
so
right.
Thank you for giving those perspectives, those things that we forget about. You know,
man, thank you for doing it with me, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, like we said, an hour? Yeah, sometimes. All right. Well, still, we're live here every Monday and Wednesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseeffects. That's the letter FX. FX at the end. Again, our shows are saved in the archive here on Blog Talk Radio and on all of and on your favorite podcast listening platform. So just look us up. Wednesday, we're back at it, 7 p.m. We hope to hear you all then. As always, Dad and I hope that you be blessed, be safe, and most importantly, be yourself because, man, everybody's taken. All right, Dad, man, love you.
All right, Will. Love you back.
Have a good
Amen.
Night. Adam, take it easy again, man. Thanks again, as always, for your support.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, amen. Good night.
Feeling this way, I guess I should be crying, but my heart just won't obey. If you stay, you'll be happy as I lie here on the rooftop in the rain. I say. made me who I am.